Good morning, friends. I count it a privilege to be coming your way once again by means of radio, bringing you the unsearchable riches of Christ. Did you ever stop to think how valuable are the things which we don't even see with our natural eyes? One verse of Scripture says, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." 2 Corinthians 4:18. So I hope that you will take a few moments' time to consider some of these things which are not seen. Of course, they are eternal things and will never pass away. I have been enjoying these nice days of sunshine which we've had. There's something about springtime which gives one a sense of the creation of God coming to life again. It is invigorating. Now, I would like to take your minds back to the days of Jesus, when he went about doing good, healing those that were oppressed of the devil, and his disciples saw the wonderful miracles which he did. One day as he walked along in Samaria, he came to a certain city called Sychar. Now, this city was near the piece of ground that Jacob had given to Joseph, and there was a well on it known as Jacob's Well. It was about the noon hour, and Jesus was weary, so he just sat there on the well. I suspect that a good drink of cool water would have been refreshing to him. In the meantime, his disciples had gone into the city to get something to eat. Now, while they were gone, and Jesus was resting there at the well, there came a Samaritan woman to draw water. And from the conversation which followed, Jesus spoke forth the truth there that has been a blessing to the many generations which have followed. Among other things, he told her this: God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, she wanted to know just what he did believe about worshiping God and how one should go about it, and he just let her know that the ones who really pleased God were the ones that worshiped him in the right way, which is in the spirit and in the truth. It doesn't make so much difference where you may be. You may be in the country. You may be at home, on land or on sea. It is not the geographical location which matters, but it is the manner in which you come in the spirit and in the truth. Any other way that people endeavor to come to God is wrong. There is just one true way to worship him. It matters not how fine and elaborate the building may be. It matters not how eloquent the preacher is. It matters not the wealth that the people have. One might have all of these things and still not find favor with God. Now, take a look at the Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray. He was a good moral man. He had many good things about him. In fact, most of his habits were good ones, I do believe. He gave tithes, and he fasted twice in a week, and he prayed. But God looked down at this man's spirit, and he saw that he had an arrogant and a proud spirit. Listen to this verse: "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." Psalms 138:6. And again, in James 4:6, we find these words: "Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." So, you see, friends, one must have the true Spirit of God in order to please him. Genuine salvation does something for folks. It will bring down the high and the mighty and give them a humble spirit before God, and it will take the people who are in the slums of sin and wickedness, and it will lift them up out of these places. It will make clean folks out of filthy ones. But don't forget the other part of this verse. You must seek the Lord not only with the right spirit, but you must have the truth with it. There is such a thing as being deceived. Folks can believe a lie so long until they really think it is the truth. But it isn't. It doesn't matter how long you may believe it. If it isn't the truth, it doesn't make it so. Some folks substitute doctrines and commandments of men for the true teaching of God, But that doesn't make it so. They need to know the truth, for it is the truth which makes men free. In other words, it doesn't make it pleasing to the Lord just because they worship Him in the wrong way, even though they may believe it to be true. Listen to these immortal words of the Savior. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Friends, there are many false spirits which are going out into the world today. There are many deceivers who are leading thousands of souls away from the truth. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and it is the Scriptures which testify of the Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Dear ones, I hope that you will search the Scriptures diligently and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. God forbid that we should be satisfied with anything less than the truth of His Word. Now, let me give you what I consider a good recipe for successful, happy Christian living. It consists of four elements. First, courage. So long as we hold it, we are unconquered. When we lose it, we're lost. It took a great and unfaltering courage for David to go out and meet the giant which defied the armies of the living God. Think of David's inexperience. He was not trained in the method of real warfare of those days. He had been taking care of the sheep for his father, but he had encountered and conquered a bear and a lion. Listen to his words. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. 1 Samuel 17:37. Well, the Lord was with him. I notice from reading further in this chapter, David picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook, and when the battle was over with Goliath, he had 4 of those stones left. He only used 1. That took courage. Secondly, have honor. Honor is worth more than victory if victory is not gained in an honorable way. One should have a sense of what is true and right and loyal in their relationship with others. Listen to these honorable words from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I believe if you think on these things enough, they will become a part of you in your dealings. The third thing to have is cheer. The bright side of things is as much a fact as the dark. The difference between failure and success depends largely on which fact we dwell upon. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul as he was being transported as a prisoner across the sea. They had been in a storm for days and days. They hadn't seen the sun or stars in many days. The others on the ship had given up hope that they would be saved, but not Paul. He said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Acts 27:22-25. I like that. Here are several other good scriptures concerning cheerfulness. Listen, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:13. Don't you see it pays to be cheerful? And then this one. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Did you get that? A cheerful giver? Think of that. Cheerful while you're giving? Why, certainly. I would say that does take the grace of God, doesn't it? But Be glad the Lord has prospered you enough to have a part in giving to help his cause along. Here's another scripture too good to pass up. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Romans 12:8. Then the fourth thing to have in facing the unknown is faith. With it, Abraham faced the unknown and won through. A pilgrim and stranger, he wandered from place to place, living in a tent and being involved in strange and unexpected trials. The reason he was a winner is because he had faith in the living God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He followed God all the way. His tent, no doubt, shook in the wind and shone in the brightness of the sunlight, now here, now there. But he was never aimless, never hopeless. Faith takes these lives of ours out of our weak and fearful control and puts them in the hand of the God of all the earth. Master, we might say, how did you overcome the world? Just as you must, he answers. With courage which cannot be conquered, with honor that nothing can stain, with cheer that nothing can quench, with faith that you are in your Father's hands. Now, let me briefly mention once again the four things which will be of great assistance to you in facing the unknown. Courage, honor, cheer, and faith. Take them with you wherever you go. They will prove valuable assets in the time of need. Let us pray. Our Father, bless the message to the good of every listener. Cheer those who are downcast. Lift up the fallen through the marvelous grace which is able to save everyone. And for that which is accomplished, we'll give the praise in Jesus' name. How sweet is my rest. The singers are the Carvers, Lynn, Arnett, Genevieve, and Sharon.
My sins all are gone, oh, what rapture to know. They're nailed to the cross where he died. The blood doth atone, and my heart doth o'erflow. Praise the Lord for the soul, cleansing time.
Friends, until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may the Lord's richest blessings be with each of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.
Is the rest of my soul.